Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the worlds of innovation, business, design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlan Esau. Today, we're joined by new label mate, Renata Duarte, founder and MD of Label Sessions, Nick Sherrod, and our resident content king, Josh Nixon. So let's jump right in with a little bit of a welcome to Renata. Renata is a seasoned human-centered design strategist who transforms deep cultural insight into brand, product, and innovation strategies that resonate globally. With a career spanning Sao Paulo, Palo Alto, and Lisbon, she's worked across the marketing strategy and design for clients including Nike, Diageo, Meta, Humana, and more. Renata, welcome to Label Sessions Presents.
Thank you so much. Very happy to be here.
Amazon has just announced a buy for me service. So that AI is not just recommending products, it's now shop on your behalf as well. And Adobe is going full steam into agentic AI for B2B. So it's promising autonomous tools that negotiate, purchase, and manage procurement without human input. We've just spoken about it. We've been trained to search and, you know, compare and do all kinds of research. But what happens when buying becomes something AI does for us? Where does that leave us and brands and as customers?
Well, I think it's another example of how the two sides of the same coin are there. The light and the shade are like so close. And it's sometimes very, very scary and sometimes very exciting. I think the exciting piece, I would say there are two for me. One is the idea of, you know, the personalization on steroids being able to be scaled. So somehow this has to help people in a way, because if the machine can understand me in a way that they can really deliver the thing I really need when I need it, I think that is fascinating. And also for, you know, B2B, when you think of the small companies, how they can benefit from it, I think it can be a very, very big game changer. And even at Innovato, we are starting to experiment with some agent AIs, combining this with the design thinking to see what can be streamlined. Anyway, there are many, many good things, but I think it's very worrisome to think first. Imagine Amazon. It's already kind of disrupting the whole retail space worldwide. Imagine if they can sell everything to you and not tell you what to buy. Like, oh my God, it's completely insane. What I said again, like making people get more of what they don't need and without stopping. And again, like having these three kind of continents experience, like being Brazilian, living in the US, and now here in Portugal. The way the Americans consume is completely, like when you see it from close, it doesn't make sense. You know, they always have the new model of everything they wanted, and so they just discard it in somehow. I mean, in California you see the recycle and everything, but like in Florida we were recycling our stuff, and when we saw, they were just throwing it everything back into the same, you know, bucket. So it's very, very, very complicated. And but I don't know. I think it has to be more human. It has to be human-centered designed. Because, you know, mm-hmm. if we don't design it intentionally, it's going to be designed unintentionally. So it's there an opportunity to make it, you know, to understand what people need and how they can benefit from it. And not just like, okay, now it's like world domination. And I think that's a very, very sad thing if that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting as well, like in terms of the, when we say AI agents, there's, you know, so many of these agents are really just wrappers on top of about five different platforms right now. So it is interesting in terms of the pure power of some of those companies, and particularly if you look at B2B. So it was interesting, like Adobe going after or already sort of calling out their B2B offerings around agents. Mm-hmm. Because essentially in B2B procurement agents, if you think, or the things that are buying things for companies, you're basically going to have Microsoft and Adobe are the only two kind of approved tools that you're going to have different names for different agents and different companies building them. But essentially, technologically wise, it's going to be those two platforms. Now, that is a massive buying power to those two companies.
Yeah.
But it's going to be there for the short term, because most companies around the world, especially most enterprises, are sort of already bought up, that Microsoft is the AI ecosystem they're going after. So it's a kind of quite a big power going into those things. And there's both the two sides of that. So one of which is, you know, that's going to be, you know, there's a lot of power in one technological entity. At the same time, it's interesting. So, you know, Microsoft have been a pioneer of green energy in different places. And actually, there might be ways you could hard code some of the sort of smartness around ESG into B2B buying journeys, you know, in this kind of journey. It's not simple, but it's a big shift to get your head around, I think.
Yeah, totally. And on top of that, I mean, when I think of B2B, the B's are also people, right? Yeah. So what's behind the companies are also people. So, I mean, there is a thing that these AI agents can streamline, you know, processes, work, repetitive stuff, and a lot of things, not just related to buying, but to everything almost, that can help people do their jobs faster. So I want to say something that I think it's key. I see AI as augmented intelligence, not artificial intelligence, because I don't believe this AI thing will, I don't know, I cannot say ever, but maybe until I'm alive, I think it's still going to be, you know, a very powerful tool to enhance our power. And if we look at it this way, I think it has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's really interesting times where the augmentation idea comes through. So, I mean, I've banged on about this a lot, but there's a really interesting thing where in like financial services and banks and money, all the digital apps seem to think that the thing we want is to be engaged more and more in managing our money. And there's new ways they can show us a graph of how much money we've got or credit we've got access to.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas actually a lot of the time, most people don't really want to engage in their money that much, either because it's scary and they don't have enough, or because they've got enough and actually they've got the other things they want to do in life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really interesting thing to go, actually, how can we use AI and the concept of agents to say, rather than me having to engage that much, here's the rules, right? So in terms of if I'm ever below this, then probably stop me spending this over here or take it from a savings account. If I'm ever way above, then maybe give me a treat or something, or like take some of the money off and put it into a savings account or into an investment somewhere. There's loads that needs to be untangled in terms of the regulation of that. But that's like a real direction of travel that's quite different from where we've been in the past. But is, to your point, does speak to what the real need is. It just means that we have to really unpick the assumptions we have around what a good digital
totally. I love that you brought this example of financial world, Nick, because I think it's very interesting. Like in the US, there is an app called TurboTax. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this, but basically I was interviewing like young adults for a project, talking to them. And when I was talking about back in the days, that was like maybe 2018, but back in the when I asked them about some app that really connected to them, that made them feel themselves, and they said TurboTax, which is a tax app. But I was like, how? What? What are they doing? And I went checking, and basically what they did was, hello, who are you? Oh, I'm Renat. What is your mood state to do this right now? Oh, I'm panicking. There was a button there. So you could kind of leverage your where you were at and where you want to be. So I don't want to understand this. I have no clue how this works. I'm panicked. So they even added a panic button that anytime, because sometimes you are afraid you're going to fill something up and it's going to be wrong. And then you click next and boom, now you are already all, you know, wrong with the IRS and da-da-da. So they did they used such a human language and such a way to kind of, you know, grab your hands and walk you through, that the young adults had this as top of mind for an engaging app.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this super fascinating because, you know, money is a taboo. Money is something very complicated. So if you know, the agents can help to meet you where you are on your journey, that could be, you know, also fascinating and good for everybody. Not trying to give you what you didn't ask, but understanding your moment and then delivering something that can really, you know, help you, not just, you know, these crazy algorithms for you to click.
Yes, it's interesting. There was a past project. You know, when you have an idea that's just sparked, it reminded me of a past project. We were looking at a thing with a finance company. It's a couple of years ago now. And we had various new concepts we were testing. And there was one that people really loved, but they couldn't move forward at the time. And it was all to do with family money. And that's an interesting thing, which is very taboo, to your point. But actually, in a lot of parts of the world, it's actually quite a big part of the way money actually works. A lot of people get a deposit, you know, a bit of help with something on the positive side, or when things go wrong, there's somebody else in the family that comes through. But it's a classic area where it's different by different nationalities in different parts of the world. But in terms of a lot of families just don't like talking about it. Don't have an open conversation about it. And we got massive response when we were testing that kind of concept of, could you create something where you could set up the rules as a family? So if one of the families ever in a position where there's much less money in their account, or they've gone over a position on a credit, actually, can we automatically take the money from somebody else if they're in that scenario without them having to talk about it? And it got a massive response. At the time, it seemed, even 2 years ago, it just seemed impossible to deliver. Whereas now, this kind of rule-based mechanism, that's the kind of whole agentic, the thing that agentic space kind of opens up. And it's kind of... there's some quite very new interactions that could be created as a result.
I love that story.
I think travel is the other one that's really interesting as a space that could come through first. Because it's things like, I had this scenario a couple of, like last year, in fact, I was trying to fly to Lisbon and then they diverted us to Porto. Now that's a very stressful thing and real travel thing, because you realize you're not going to get to the hotel that night. You know, I'm traveling with my wife at the time. And like, you know, so it's like, there's loads of stuff to sort out. Yeah. Whereas again, that's a scenario where even not being that sophisticated, they know the hotel chains have stayed at the past. I'm kind of broadly okay with. They know where I'm trying to get to. That should be in a place now where something can go on my behalf and say, okay, your flight's moved. We spotted that in the data. As a result of that, here's where you stay tonight.
Yeah.
Here's what you do tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, that's where actually it can actually be quite life enhancing, or at least sort of stress reducing, rather than the thing everyone talks about, which is all just the kind of the sort of fantasy of you're gonna get this agent and it's going to make all your buying choices for you, because that's not always a good thing.
No, definitely.
But there are some where it's positive.
Yeah, and I think that the feeling of like losing control, I think that's kind of the I think inside people's mind, like it's like have you already tried the self-driving car? It's like you have to trust that so many things are going to work for you to survive that trip, you know. And it's fun, but it's also like, oh my god, it's the same. Are you going to trust some AI agent? God knows if it's on a bad or good mood today and, you know, want to spend all my credit card.
It is true, though. And I was complaining about that the other day, though, when someone pointed out to me that I've been on long flights to Australia and places where for about 80% of the time, the plane was controlled by an AI, was controlled by an automatic pilot. Yeah. You sort of like, we just have this kind of weird sense of, it's almost like the technology's got ahead of where we're comfortable with a lot of the ability stuff.